Our message this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. And in the church here, we have certain holidays and celebrations, and one of them is today, as we prepare for Pentecost Sunday next week. Today we remember the ascension of Jesus. So from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verses 44 through 53. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he withdrew from them and was carried up to heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And there they were continually in the temple, blessing God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As I mentioned at the beginning of the reading, this is a day that we remember the ascension of Jesus. And I find it to be an odd day. Part of the reason that I find it to be an odd day is, why on earth would we be celebrating Jesus going away? Why would we want to remember this piece of what went on with Jesus and the disciples? And the second reason that I find it odd and a little strange is, I wonder, what is it that they're to do next? Luke tells us that they left, they saw Jesus raised into heaven, the disciples left, and they went back to the temple, and they rejoiced, and they praised God, and they blessed God continually. But what'd they do the next day? Or the day after that? Or the day after that? To me, that's the question that seems to be the most important. We can have these celebrations. We do that throughout the year, memories. If we actually followed the Catholic calendar, we'd probably have one every other Sunday as we remembered the saints. But what do we do when we're done celebrating? Why are we remembering this time of Jesus going away, of leaving us? What are we to do with this day? What are we to do after Jesus? There's a part of me that thinks that that's a question that rose in the hearts and minds of the disciples after they got back to the city, after they praised and worshiped God in the temple. They probably went back to that room that they were all staying together and said, "Okay, now what? What are we to do next? Where are we to go?" Imagine, if you will, if you were one of them, or maybe differently. Imagine if you were one of the 500 who Paul tells us that Jesus appeared to. You're there. You see Jesus alive, resurrected, flesh and blood, part of your experience of life. And then all of a sudden he's gone. No more Jesus. These are people who lived with, walked with, worked with, slept with, ate with Jesus for at least 3 years, according to the way that we understand the Gospels. Imagine what that's like for those of us who have lost loved ones. We know exactly what that's like. We know the loss, the emptiness that probably permeated those men and women who walked with Jesus daily. There's a piece that sticks into my head from Matthew's gospel that I think some of them may have said. It comes from Jesus on the cross. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Maybe the disciples thought the same thing. My God, why have you forsaken me? Where did you go? Why are you no longer with us? Now, we know down the ages that there's more to the story. There's the Holy Spirit coming. It's been promised to them. They may not remember that. And in the stories that we have of Pentecost, it's the Holy Spirit descending on the 12, those core men. But what about the others who walked with Jesus, who lived with Jesus, who taught, who listened to his teachings? Why have you left us alone, Jesus? Why have you gone away? There's this empty feeling that I have in my gut. The experience of God with us, the experience of God in our lives is gone. Where do we go from here? I have an answer to that one. To be disciples of Jesus, we have to follow after Jesus. Jesus might be gone, but we know what Jesus has done. Jesus has taught us, shown us, lived out to us. Love and grace, mercy and thanksgiving. He has been a part of the everyday lives of these people, and he is part of our everyday lives when we read Scripture and we see what has been done. We are told the stories of healings. We are told the stories of Jesus eating with the least of these, of standing for up against unjust pieces, of being around everyone and caring and loving them. He spoke out against suffering. So that's what we're to do. If we are to follow after Jesus, we have to be Jesus. Yeah, I know. I'm asking a lot. We have to be Jesus. We don't have to be sinless. We don't have to worry about whether or not we are stuck in this position of being human beings where we make mistakes, where we screw things up. We're forgiven. But we still have to follow after this Jesus, doing the things that Jesus did. Loving our neighbors, teaching our friends, caring, standing up against those things that do violence against others. You know, it's funny because I write these things out, and then periodically I'm just like, okay, forget it. I'm going with what the Spirit is moving me to say. The thing about following after Jesus is being Jesus and standing in the place of the one who is like God. I'm convinced that when we are created, there's a little bit of God that is put into us. And that helps us to be like Jesus, to care for others, to love people, to stand for injustice, to stand up against the violence and the problems that go on in this world. The violence that is experienced by women and children whether they're battered or bruised and beaten, or whether they're just cast out and cast aside. The violence of abhorrent, systematic, continual poverty. The violence of people standing up and saying, because you are not like me, you don't have the same opportunities that I have. And the violence of people who stand and say, because you don't believe like I do, then you are not welcome in the presence of God. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus stands up and says, guess what? Our God is big enough to take all of these things. And to follow after me, you follow in those footsteps. Whether you agree with someone or not, you love and you care for them. When you see someone who has been hurt, who has been struck by violence of this world, you stand with them. And when it seems like the world has abandoned you, when it seems like God has abandoned you, when it seems like I, Jesus might say, when I have abandoned you, know that in that brokenness, there is light, there is life, and there is hope. This week, I shared a devotional with our elders as part of our elders' meeting from a young woman by the name of Reba Riley. I've mentioned her before in one of my other messages. And what she says at the very end of her book called Post-Traumatic Church Syndrome, where she is wrestling with returning to the church, is she says, in brokenness, there is destruction. But in brokenness, there is life. Because in that brokenness, there are cracks that show that light and life can shine into and shine back out from. The ascension is a time for us to remember that Christ is not physically with us anymore. But it's also a time to share in the brokenness of that peace, the brokenness of Christ not physically being with us anymore, and allow the light to shine through our spirits. The disciples had to learn that. They were shattered. Even in their rejoicing later on, I know they were broken. And in that brokenness, the Spirit of God shone through. The Spirit of God's love, God's grace, and God's mercy. And in our brokenness, in our broken and battered and beaten world, the love of Christ shines through us as the Spirit pours out onto our world through our grace, our love, and our mercy. Amen.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the sound I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there no other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice, so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing, and he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there no other has ever known. And the joy we share as we tarry there no other has ever
in the love of God, the courage of Christ, and the strength of the Holy Spirit. Amen.